This episode of 1-900 Wrestling is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/1900wrestling. Be a part of our patron-only Discord, talk wrestling whenever you want, and support the show and our Wrestle Fund. You guys are making it possible for us to go see ROH, a little bit later this year in Las Vegas. We thank you and everybody who believes in this, the best wrestling podcast on the internet. Go ahead and check it out, patreon.com/1900wrestling right now. But enough of talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling.
Oh, hell yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it is SummerSlam season, and that means that we are sizzling here on 1-900 Wrestling. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, is the man from Austin, Texas, Daddy. He is Willie Dose Gregory. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. I'm doing well. It's a Monday. We're beginning the grind of a new week, but we always start off with a bang because we get to talk about wrestling. Everybody else hates Mondays. I look forward to them. What can I say?
Tell you what.
We're lucky men.
We are together, a two-man self-high five. I feel like that's our new nickname. We are indeed right. Starting the week with a bang.
I'm in. I will say this, though. Not a lot of I was thinking about this last night as I was, you know, contemplating what we would talk about today on the show. And I was like, feels like I haven't watched a lot of wrestling this week. After the insane amount of wrestling the weekend before, all of a sudden, it was like, okay, what? I was thinking about it last night. I was like, I threw on the WWE Network, and I said, I think I've caught up on all this stuff. What am I supposed to watch right now? I even watched NXT last week because I thought I need wrestling in my life.
So here's the deal. I didn't realize, because I've been wrapped up in all this action news stuff.
Sure.
By the time that we talked about Battleground, I just watched it. It had just happened. Again, we do the Monday show. So everybody else that does wrestling podcasts, they do Tuesday shows. They do Wednesday shows. They do Thursday shows. They watch Raw. They watch SmackDown. We do the Monday show. So we are talking immediately. We're talking first about the pay-per-views. And I didn't mind Battleground, right? I didn't realize.
You were in the minority.
Oh, my God, was I. Not only did I not realize that everybody else hated this thing, and you were far more negative than I was, but like to the point where there was the whole like Fire Road Dog, like a thing that apparently he was a leading SmackDown astray.
Apparently what he has done equal to or worse than Bill DeMott in the eyes of some.
Oh my God. I mean, like,
this was as bad as making somebody take all their clothes off and shove their butt into somebody else's face in the corner of the wrestling ring, apparently.
Here's all I'm going to say.
I saw the star ratings, too. Did you see the star ratings?
They were bad. They were bad star ratings.
He gave the main event a 0.75.
Which, that did not, I mean, like, all right.
That makes no sense to me.
Here's all I'm going to say. And we can move on from here because we don't like to dwell on the negativity on this program.
Sure.
But it is a sign of our wrestling times when that show is looked at as a total abortion, right?
Yeah.
Like, when that is the flaming dumpster fire of just singeing wreckage that everyone's like, oh, my God, everybody's getting fired. Top down. Vince McMahon, you need to retire immediately. Like, when the 0.75 star match includes an insane bump.
Yeah, a
fairly
crazy
good
table bump.
You know, listen. Yeah. Formulaic plotting, but not well executed, not botched, and then a surprise entry from the Great Khali.
Sure,
fine.
And to be honest, like I could see, and I said this on the last show, that the beginning part with the doors was really long and dull and not entertaining at all. But once they got outside the first cage, it ramped up, and I thought it was a fine match, and I wouldn't call it anywhere close to a five-star, whatever.
No.
I definitely would never call it sub one. It was a middling, you know, main event at best.
And
it still wasn't as good as the first match, but it certainly wasn't the worst match of the night, which apparently he thought it was. So that's crazy to me.
It's also the last pay per pay-per-view before SummerSlam. When are they ever good? They're literally just there to tie up whatever loose ends of the grab ass that was happening before so you can set up the big thing that's going to happen at your far larger pay-per-view that comes afterward. So, with that being said, we had a great week. I think great week of WWE television this week. Both Raw and SmackDown were super fun. And this is what brings us into our sound of the week.
You just made the list!
He's back, ladies and gentlemen.
Gentlemen, you...
That is Chris Jericho, surprise entry back in to the SmackDown fold. Kevin Owens after that. I'll tell you what, I did rewatch that Kevin Owens AJ Styles match, and as good as that match was through the middle of it, that that botch in the middle, holy crap. Or sorry, but the botch ending, that was awkward.
Apparently, I don't know if you heard, but it was like an on the fly change. Which is weird that they were, I don't know. Like in the match they found out somehow that they were changing the ending, and that's what led to all of the seeming confusion, which did seem, all of it seemed weird, right?
Everything was weird.
It was weird. It was super weird. So, I mean, I guess that's an acceptable explanation for why, but there's no acceptable explanation for why change it mid-match. What the hell are you doing?
Well, I mean, I guess the what you would guess is it's just word. Things changed late in the day, and not everybody was on the same page. And people thought they were on the same page. They walked out with incomplete information, and then that's what showed at the end of it.
Sure, sure. But, I feel like, and, this is not necessarily, part of our first topic, but I feel like there's a certain part of wrestling that is in love with its own, just flippant, we call it in the ring, we improvise everything. They almost just want to do that rather than it's a big pay-per-view, you have time to figure this out.
Yeah,
right. And but they just refuse to, almost like it's like almost like a no, like that's just not how we do it. And yet not only is that not how we do it, but Seth Rollins cashing in at the end of WrestleMania, nobody even knew until that day that that was going to happen. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We're taking the biggest moment of the year and then telling people that day that that's what's going to happen. And there's a certain extent, a part of me that likes it because you can still get surprises in a day and age of dirt sheets and the internet. But and maybe that's the big reason why. But then when this kind of stuff happens, you go, maybe you don't always have to do that. Right.
I mean, listen, this kind of secret exists nowhere else. Right. Like if you want to know what happens this season in Game of Thrones, you can find it somewhere on the internet. Like there are people that have seen enough of it, that have leaked scripts, that there are plenty of message boards somewhere. You want to know what happens in Star Wars coming out this winter? You can find that out, too. It is on the internet for you to find out. In wrestling, try as people might, things change so rapidly close to the end that you do get genuine surprises. All right, so here's the only thing I really want to say on this. A great surprise return from Jericho.
Yes.
And I do want to focus on SmackDown a little bit, just because I thought it was such a rad show. And for as much crap as Battleground got, I thought SmackDown was just exceptional, including, let's just get into the main event for this week's SmackDown, because my favorite tweet of the week was imagining somebody going into a coma in 2014, awakening this week so they can see the graphic. Shinsuke Nakamura versus John Cena, winner faces Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam. What are you more excited for? To watch this, assuredly going to be an incomplete match, because there's no way they have it this end clean with these two guys, right? Or the fact that we are just in this total random number generator era of WWE.
It is weird. It's like you wouldn't even come up with this if you were playing, WWE 2K17. And you're like, all right, let me figure out what I'm going to use as my card to prep for SummerSlam. This wouldn't cross anyone's mind as a thing. But here we are. And now that we are here, it all, looking back, does make sense and came together kind of normally. It's just a collection of names that, yeah, you're right. Like 5 years ago, you never would have put into the same, you know, little threesome here. But I, you know, it's going to be a good match because obviously Cena and Shinsuke, that's something that a lot of people are waiting for. People, I love the complaints that wrestling fans come up with, like, how could they be giving this to us for free? And I'm like, really? That's, you think, a legitimate claim? How could somebody give me something great for free?
Yeah.
But it's I'm excited for it. I'm very curious to see. I actually, so a lot of people think, obviously, John Cena.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I could totally see it be Shinsuke here. That could be, and I want to feel like I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to feel like I don't know really hard right now.
Well,
but
so
I'm going in as if it's possibly Shinsuke right now.
Here's the thing. I don't think Shinsuke's out of the picture. Because
No. Why
would you introduce John Cena when he comes back as a free agent? Unless very quickly he's going to start feuding with somebody on Raw.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, so, no, I could definitely see. You could even see. We've also heard rumors that there's like a shakeup again going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. So to me, it just feels like everything's kind of up in the air right now. But yeah, no, this, I'm really looking forward to this SmackDown. And most of the time lately, what I've been doing is watching Raw and SmackDown in like skim mode. Right. Like,
yeah.
I basically like look for the things that I really want to watch. And then I'll skip through like the first 10 minutes of rigmarole and some matches so I can just kind of get to like what the finish is going to be and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I am not going to do that. On Tuesday, I am going to sit down and I'm going
luxuriate
to watch this
whole game. Luxuriate in it. Luxuriate. Yes. Just really
I'm going
take
to make
in.
A nice dinner. Maybe get a glass of wine.
Come on. Yeah. Nice little glass of Chianti. Just you and SmackDown reconnecting.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be good. And I will say that like Raw has definitely been outshining SmackDown for me, and the pay-per-view didn't really help. But that was a good show. That was a good SmackDown. I'm with you there. I think a lot of people right now are a little sour on SmackDown, just period. So
I mean, I don't know. I think that's just, you can't be enough of the indie darling without getting crap at a certain point, right?
Sure, sure, sure.
Because it's not like any of these guys are any less of the guys that we like.
No, I know.
SmackDown
like,
hasn't been
like
doing fun, innovative stuff.
I will say this, though. There was a weird thing about this SmackDown, and that was I wanted a Khali moment, right? Didn't
we all want
Big Khali to come out after what happened at Battleground?
I mean, I don't know. I'm of the mind that the more sparing the Khali, the more I like him.
Okay, sure. All right, fair enough. You could definitely overuse your Big Khali. So,
I'm just saying he showed up. I was like, yay, the great Khali. If he showed up again, I would be less, yay, the great Khali. Yeah.
I keep calling him the Big Khali because there's so many big guys now. We got big cast, big show. Yeah.
Big Mike.
Big Mike. We got Big Mike.
How do you feel about SummerSlam so far, though, Dills?
I feel pretty damn good about it. So I was actually looking up the current card that we know so far. And to be honest, you could just give me this main event and collection of other random things that are like, you know, potentially really fun, and it would still be like a really good show. Because holy crap, the Fatal 4-Way with all the biggest monsters on the roster in one match.
That's gonna be
I can't be any more excited for
that. That's some beef. That's some beef slamming.
Like the spots that they're gonna pull off, like over under. Let's get Mitsula in here. Over under.
Yep.
I guess you don't really use an over-under because it'd be one or zero.
Yeah.
The ring is not going to last. Like, parts of the ring are not going to be there by the end of this match,
if
right?
If it's the main event, then you would almost imagine that, it just ends with everything being destroyed.
Everything is just gone.
And by everything, I don't even mean the ring. I mean Brooklyn. I mean the entire arena. The Barclays Center is left torn asunder.
Everything falls, just implodes on itself, yeah. Yeah, the deaths of 40,000 people or whatever, just everything goes down. It's like fans got to take a bump. I'm sorry. This is a big match. These are some big boys. But, the rest of it's looking okay. I mean, Jinder Mahal versus whoever here is going to be okay.
Yeah.
What if this turns into a three-way, though, too, right? Like, that wouldn't be that weird.
Maybe.
To me.
I guess that's the only thing that warns me off Cena versus Jinder.
Sure.
And shout out to Andrew Zarian and Rich from Mat Men. They are dead sure that that's absolutely going to happen.
Okay. A lot of people are right now.
I think they want to save the big record-breaking Cena win for WrestleMania.
And I don't think they want it to happen over Jinder. Although a lot of people said they didn't think that Jinder would be the 50th champion or whatever. Like, as if that number matters.
Mattered, yeah.
In some huge way.
Which it doesn't. It doesn't matter. But
the breaking of the record does, right?
Yes, yes. That matters. And it should matter. And it mattered when he tied it, which is the reason why he did it in a classic with AJ Styles in the Alamo Dome.
Sure. And so who to you makes sense as, because it would be a little weird if it was Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam, right? And that was like, because they're going to, this is, if you think about it from WWE's perspective, this is going on to some highlight reels. This is a package that's going to be showed many, many times from here till, you know, the end. So who, like, makes sense being the opponent in that package right now, currently? And of course, keep in mind, you can choose anybody from, like, Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, I mean, I would say now, if you want to do Legacy, then you do Orton versus Cena, right?
Orton versus Cena?
He's probably the...
But you got to find a way to get the belt back on Orton first, right?
Or Triple H Cena. Like, that's probably the one that you can show, you know, like, from the ages of, like, them younger and like, now building up to this one final climactic thing.
Sure.
If you want to go younger...
That's the kind of thing that makes a lot of sense, right? Or it's, like, The Rock Cena 3. Somehow they get The Rock back in there. They get the title again. You're right. I think those are the types of names that they're going to be looking at, right?
Or if you want to go younger, it's the big dog. It's his yard now. It's Roman Reigns.
Okay. I can see that. That means then that the whole Roman Brock plan has to kind of severely change, right? Which we have heard from the rumors that, like, Brock really likes working with Samoa Joe. So maybe, you know, we see more of a fight at WrestleMania between those two guys, and then they move towards, Cena Roman.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that.
I wouldn't mind seeing Cena Roman at SummerSlam. I wouldn't mind Roman coming out of that. Roman doesn't need to be in that that big boy match. Like, he'll be great in it if he's in it, but if it was, I would prefer a world where we got Braun, Brock, Joe in a triple threat, and then Roman Reigns versus John Cena in the undercard.
And Shinsuke and Jinder.
And Shinsuke and Jinder, yeah.
I think that'd be great. All right.
Although, honestly,
I can dig it.
I really just want... I need Shinsuke to start getting back in with the indie super freaks, right? Like, I need Shinsuke Owens. I need Shinsuke AJ. I need Shinsuke Sammy. Like, I'm trying to be patient, man. I'm really trying to be patient. But those guys can put on matches that are unforeseen unseen in the WWE.
By the way, the Baron Corbin Shinsuke Nakamura match from SmackDown was pretty good.
Was good, yeah. And
which was just made it so weird that they decided to do the good match on the SmackDown. And then this is the thing that always confuses me. I don't understand the reasoning for this. Well, like, you could have given us the kick him in the balls ending on SmackDown and the really good match on the pay-per-view. And I think a lot of people would have been a little more friendly about Battleground, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that ending I don't mind because I think we mentioned this last week, but SmackDown
has... It makes sense for his character.
Has always been good about setting up next week's television on the pay-per-view, much in the same way that the Attitude Era always used to. There were so many squash matches in the Attitude Era that only served to set up Raw the next day.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And you also, I think, though, it's just like people look at things a little differently nowadays. And also, there was a time, too, where you would get that a little less often because people were paying $60 for the pay-per-view. And now when you're paying $9.99 for the month.
Yeah.
It's not the same, like, importance. Like, oh, we better give them $60 worth of stuff here. But that was a pretty good one. And I think you're right, though, that Shinsuke with some of these career WWE guys came up through their system and not the indies. They may not just gel in the same way, right? Like, it just seems like maybe the chemistry's not as strong. Or maybe it's that Shinsuke doesn't really care, which is something a lot of people say. They say that he kind of, you know, he coasts a little bit. And then when he knows that the big show's here,
yeah,
that's when you see, you know, true Shinsuke.
I think part of that's just human nature, but also it's these kind of matches are like, you know, taking your kids to school in a Ferrari. Like, yeah, you can do it, but sure. Ultimately you're going to be in the school zone for most of the time. You're not really going to get to flex the fact that this is a high performance automobile. You might as well just take the Kia.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's very true. And also you got to think about the schedule these guys have. I think it's another thing people always just kind of forget is that they're not just wrestling the two nights a week or one night a week that you think they are, right?
No.
They're wrestling like five nights a week. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Let's get into some of the other stuff throughout the wrestling world. You've got some great philosophical. I feel like this is a new segment that we should do. Just philosophical questions.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So philosophical question. Do we want to do this now or do we want to get through some of the rest of the news?
No, let's do this real quick because, you know, I want to make sure we can give it a little room to breathe.
A little room, yeah.
I don't have, you know, like a 20-minute dissertation on the topic, but I just find it interesting because I had a guy in my chat the other night.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, and I've had this conversation with, you know, friends who don't like wrestling.
Yeah.
But love the UFC. Like, they are so hot on what's going on in the UFC.
Yeah.
Or the boxing world or whatever.
John Jones, DC.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and right now, this is about as hot as actual fighting and MMA together have been in the last 10 years. You know, you have...
Well, Mayweather-McGregor, right, is obviously a quote-unquote real fight.
Sure, yeah. But also, I mean, I'm not a huge boxing guy, but I know who Canelo and Golovkin are. Like, they're probably the only two, like, active boxers that I am aware of that I would have any interest in fighting, and they're going to fight each other, which is something that boxing very rarely does, is actually put two good fighters who can fight each other up against each other when they should be fighting each other, which is pretty rad.
I think, though, okay, people know that we like wrestling. So,
yes.
I think a lot of people assume then that I like all the combat sports.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So they were like, hey, Dilsey, you really excited for the big fights? And this was, I guess, Sunday night or Saturday night or whatever.
Saturday
it was,
night. Yeah, it was UFC. Jones-Cormier 2.
Sure. And there was going to be some boxing as well.
Yeah.
And I just kind of replied, like, I don't really like real fighting. Not really a big fan. So, and I think it was a surprising answer to the person asking the question. Like, oh, what? You don't enjoy watching people actually fight? You just like the fake fighting. And so I'm curious what your take is. Like, are you somebody who keeps up with UFC? Do you enjoy watching a UFC fight?
So, it's funny because I've always looked at wrestling as, you know, imagine your high school campus, right? If your high school had a football field on it, and it had a theater in it,
sure.
Wrestling fans are kind of the kids that showed up to both sometimes, right? They're the kids that went to the football games and like the spring production of Charlie Brown, you know, like
totally.
I do enjoy on a theoretical level UFC.
Yeah.
When Brock Lesnar was at his height, me and my friends would go to bars to watch him fight UFC. I think I like. I do enjoy the five, you know, the 5 to 10 minutes of actual fighting that happens in a UFC match, but not enough to study it or love it or watch. I don't think I could ever watch like prelims, you know, unless I was just drunk or betting on it randomly with my friends where I'm like, no, that guy. I want the guy with the lower back tattoo.
No backstory and
You know,
sure.
But aside from that, I don't know enough about it. I don't know enough about wrestling. I don't know about jiu-jitsu to really appreciate it. I am there more. Oh, here's all I'll say. The last time I went to go to a bar to watch a UFC fight was to watch CM Punk. And the next time that I go is if Jon Jones does fight Brock Lesnar in sure. whatever bizarre thing that they might be setting up. I'll definitely see the Mayweather-McGregor fight just because I appreciate
it's like a cultural event at this point.
Yeah, how
right?
ridiculous yeah. they are. And I will yeah. see I like boxing more than I like UFC. But let me ask you this, because this is what where I thought you were going with this about real fighting.
Sure.
Do you like a fight breaks out at a bar? You're out playing pool, right? At your local pool place.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, two guys start getting nose to nose. You know, drinks are had. They start getting in each other's face. Freeze frame right there. In your heart of hearts, do you want them to see eye to eye and back away? Or do you want them to start throwing hands on each other?
Yeah, I don't want to actually witness it at all, to be honest. I don't like watching people get actually hurt, man.
Yeah.
And I don't like it in wrestling. I don't like it in life. And I don't like it in, if there's a, you know, there's a subreddit where it's like, you know, people effing dying or whatever. And it's like, actually, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really like it.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, and I think maybe to a certain extent, I actually did like boxing in the age of like Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Because there was a certain part of it that was just really impressive, right? Like just that somebody could be that quick and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, when I watch it now back, I think as a kid, I was a little bit more, maybe I just didn't really think of the actual effect and what was actually happening to these human beings and what was going on inside their brains. And
yeah.
And then when you start to understand as you get a little older, the actual damage being done, all of a sudden that kind of stuff just becomes less enjoyable to me. I'm just watching two people just actually hurt each other.
Yeah.
You know? And with wrestling, there's a certain extent where it's also happening, right? Like these guys, when they get older, their bodies aren't in fantastic shape.
Sure.
But it's kind of like a controlled burn rather than set it all on fire as quickly as possible. Your career is over. Like you flame out by like, you know, your early 20s.
And there is an art to it, right?
Yeah.
We had to take a little technical break in the middle of it. But I heard you talking about like Curt Hawkins, you know,
sure.
And Curt Hawkins lost his 100th match in a row, I guess, according to whoever keeps stats on this. But there's an art, like Curt Hawkins is the clown. He is.
Yeah.
There is an archetype for Curt Hawkins through all of theater. The fool who comes out and is a fool, and we all laugh at the fool, and then he leaves. He is playing a role, and he gets a paycheck for it. And as part of that, there is a physical taxing element to it of calisthenics and choreography.
Yeah, and he gets some offense in from time to time, but you're right, like. You can't lose 100 in a row in the UFC and still have a job.
No.
But there is a place for that. And like you said, it's a storyline. All that kind of stuff is what oftentimes draws me in, sometimes more than the matches. Like I oftentimes find myself fast forwarding through the beginning of matches where I know there's going to be some rest holds and stuff.
Yeah.
And not through things like promos because that's like where the storytelling is happening.
But
and then the matches, you know.
You want to know what? This is actually kind of fascinating because I would say I'm the other way. If I see two guys going nose to nose at a bar, I kind of hope that they at least start throwing punches. You know,
okay.
Like just because I do enjoy an element of that sort of car wreck stuff. But even if we are going on the opposite ends of that, what's fun about wrestling is that you don't like real violence. And yet you are watching people simulate violence well as they can for your enjoyment because that's the tension. The tension is how much can they look like they're hurting each other while hurting each other as little as possible. That's interesting.
There's
an excitement.
Probably an element of just that human beings kind of enjoy violence and here's a way for me to engage in that without the actual bloodthirst that goes along with sometimes watching a UFC fight where people just really want to see the other guy kill somebody. And that I've never really understood that like kind of need to actually watch like kind of morbid violence. Like I love the cartoony stuff. I love watching like a movie like John Wick. Oh man, I'm all
sure,
in
yeah.
on a movie like John Wick where hundreds of people die. I'd like to watch a camp Rambo flick and oh, that's hilarious that he killed all those guys there.
Yeah.
But when it suddenly becomes reality to me, I think I just get it's like it just stops being enjoyable and it just starts making me feel bad. And then I can't have that same fulfillment that like wrestling will always give me. Right. You could throw a gentleman Jervis into the middle of a wrestling show to break it up with just here's some fun and some hugs. You don't get that in the middle of a UFC 213 or whatever, where suddenly somebody comes out and gives a flower to a young girl and starts hugging people. No, it's just all about the brutality there. And it's just, you know, I need it to be broken up with something else, I guess.
All right. Well, hey, since we are the number one shills for Wrestle Circus, let's go ahead and also mention that they've got, is it this week? Their big Cody Rhodes event?
It's on the 5th, yeah, Saturday.
So this Saturday, live on Twitch, Cody Rhodes makes his debut at Wrestle Circus. And this might be, Dills, on free streaming Twitch platform, there is the possibility that the Ring of Honor World Championship could be contended at Wrestle Circus should Brandi Rhodes lose to Scorpio Sky's manager. What's his name? Something Condon?
Daniel something, I believe. Hold on.
Whatever. That guy.
Yeah.
He's
a filthy, filthy heel, though.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's going to be dirty. It's going to be nasty. It should be a very, very, very fun show. We encourage everybody to watch it on Twitch and support them. And also, again, another big tip matching situation between Cody Rhodes and Wrestle Circus. And he's auctioning off his boots, the boots he won the world championship in at the event. So go ahead and check it out. I really think that, again, Cody Rhodes has just had such an amazing run as an indie wrestler right now. And here's another story.
Oh, well, by the way, too, also the boots are going towards Austin Pets Alive.
Yeah.
Which is the same organization I got my dog from. So pretty excited about that.
Look at that. Yeah. And I believe that all the tips are being matched by Wrestle Circus for Austin Pets Alive. So
it's true. Yeah. It's a fantastic charity here in Austin. So. Definitely, if you're watching the show on Twitch,
throw
them bits out there.
Yeah, tip them. That is a great, great, great opportunity, and I think that they are doing not only a great job for their wrestlers on that card, they are doing a great job for just wrestling on Twitch and wrestling in general to just mainstream the idea that if you see something really cool on Twitch, if you see a great match, tip the guy. They will love it, and they will love you, and it's going to go to a good cause this weekend. Here's another cool thing that Cody did. Up there in Hamilton, Ontario, they got a promotion, Alpha One Wrestling. It's run by Ethan Page, who was at the Wrestle Circus show we went to last week. And they are a tag team up there, Ethan Page and Cody Rhodes. Cody did a thumbtack bump, and then after the match, took pictures with fans with the thumbtacks in his back for 45 minutes.
Yeah, this man is committed to the indie wrestling scene right now in a huge way. He's everywhere, and he's just doing whatever it is that they want him to do in all of these places, right? Just putting on fantastic matches week after week. It's crazy.
I mean, you know, I guess it makes sense for him, right? Just keep the name out there. Keep people coming to see him. And you know, I now I'm torn. Like, I don't know where I want this to go or end with Cody Rhodes. I feel like he just should be – he's like this Paul Bunyan-esque folk hero right now, just traveling around the world, you know, to all these little VFW halls and letting 50 people at a time see this awesome match.
Yeah, and he's you know, he's said on Twitter he's making better money now than he was in the WWE. I think this goes on for a while, man.
I don't know why he'd stop.
His return. Yeah. I think the return to WWE is going to be after like a nice, like this is going to be, you know, we're going to be like 5, 6, 7 years or so of this, I think. And then he comes back as like the grizzled old veteran type
of
thing.
Yeah, I think in general, eventually when you run all these VFW halls for the 8th, 9th, 10th time, you'll be like, okay. You know,
yeah, sure.
Now I've done this a bunch. It would be really, really, really cool to play a football stadium.
Yeah. And also, at that point, he will cash in a big way.
Sure.
And probably get, you know, a real title run, right? So you let all these other guys who were kind of just ahead of you get their runs while you're still doing great things. And then when you come back, you are no longer Stardust. You're Cody. And you've made a name as Cody. And, you know, there's going to be no dumb mustache. There's going to be no pretending to be whatever, the buddy of a smart guy. There's not going to be any like joke gimmick. There's going to be like Cody the Great Wrestler gimmick, right? And I think that's what he kind of wants. He just wanted to have that opportunity.
Well, but
and he is a great wrestler.
And I think
right?
he's even said that he had to learn that out there. You know, he had to learn who that was. He had to figure out who Cody the Great Wrestler was, because it's hard to develop that inside of WWE if you don't already know it. If he doesn't already have a compass pointing true north. I mean, he was in WWE at 18. He had no other experience.
Really knew, right? Yeah.
Right.
So he got told what his character was, and then he went head first into that.
And he did it.
And when it was Stardust, he was incredible at being Stardust, right?
Yeah.
So he came with all sorts of weird little mannerisms to be Stardust, and it was a pretty, you know, intense character. But you're right, it's like not really the direction. And the beauty of the indie wrestling scene is like, you are who you are everywhere you go, because there isn't, some body, and there isn't a bunch of head writers. There isn't all this. Like, you basically get with the other wrestler. You make I guess maybe you make sure it's okay with the promotion sometimes, but I think most of the time, even they don't really know exactly what you're going to do and what the plan is. They just know that they want you as the talent, and you have to develop as yourself.
Yeah.
You're the only one. You can only rely on you. So this is like a fantastic experience for him. It's going to be even, like, you know, we just saw right now Drew Galloway coming back.
Yep.
As Drew McIntyre, Jinder Mahal coming back as Jinder Mahal.
Everybody in 3MB,
guys.
Everybody in 3MB. Reverend Buck here in the chat points out that apparently this is now official. Los Angeles will host the 2028 Summer Olympics. So now we begin our campaign at the Summer Games 2028. Pro wrestling should be a medaled event. You should have pro wrestling available. Because we have the best athletes in the world, don't we,
That's
folks?
Right.
Okay. I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you this every single week, Willie, until you admit it. Is it over? Rebby Hardy and Ed Nordholm of Impact Wrestling, both in separate interviews, saying that they are no longer negotiating.
Yeah.
That Impact will not make a deal for the Broken Brilliance gimmick, despite the fact that they had some of their trademark applications not confirmed this week because of prior filings from Matt Hardy. Is it over, Dills?
It's over for now. I think they're gonna move. We're not gonna see a bunch more teases. But it will never truly be over until the blonde streak is out of Matt's hair.
Is that it?
So as long as that's there, there's always a chance.
I mean, I don't know why he'd ever stop doing the delete thing, because they're not getting sued now.
True. Yeah. I mean, but I heard that when they came out and did the promo where Jeff actually said obsolete.
Yeah.
And Matt actually
fade
said
fade away
broken.
And classify ourselves as obsolete.
Yeah.
Obsolete.
Yeah. Like, it was very clear what was going on. I heard that they thought that the negotiations were going incredibly well for a moment, and then everything kind of fell apart after that show. So they thought it was happening. Now it's not. I'm willing to now admit that, yeah, over for now, but no one's going to, like, give up on this forever, right? Like, this might be a year down the road at this point or something
like that. Well, Matt's going to do something. Like,
yeah.
they got brought back because Matt effectively created such a buzz for them with his own creativity. So
it's just not going to be the exact same thing. So now they just got to get to work on whatever the hell the next thing is. I'm excited to see what that is.
Yeah, you know, the Reverend Buck says, well, wouldn't losing the trademark applications mean that GFW Impact doesn't have much of a position to negotiate with? Not necessarily. The issue is more, the issue is not who has legal rights to anything, because there is obviously a dispute on exactly what that is, but rather who wants to get sued and who wants to do the suing. You know, you are just dancing around liability at this point, as opposed to saying, all right, this is on your side of the fence and I want to buy it, and if I do it, then I can't, right? Because everybody's opinion on who owns what is different. You have something in here about the television show Glow.
Yeah.
Give me the word here.
So we have a mutual friend, Patrick from France, Patrick Beja.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an opinionated human being.
I would say so.
In the podcasting world.
Yeah.
You know? But he also kind of considers himself, I think, I'm not going to say whether rightly or wrongly so, because I think everybody considers themselves a little bit of a critic. So when he was watching Glow, I guess he had heard a bunch of good things about the show, right?
Yeah.
And then found it to be not so great as he watched it. So I'm curious to think, like, because I know you also, you have a tendency to be a little more critical, I think, of a lot of things than I am too. Like, but you seem to like Glow.
I did. I liked it a lot. Yeah.
Do you think that there was a little bit of us that maybe liked it a lot more than maybe we would have had we not already been fans of the subject matter? Or do you think that we correctly perceived it as a good show? Because when I think about it, there are a lot of characters in there that aren't necessarily things we've never seen before or anything like that. There's certainly a lot of camp in the show. But I feel like a lot of that just reflected the content that they were referencing, right?
Yeah. No, I think so. I don't think that those have to be mutually exclusive.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Like, I think, yes, 100%, I liked the show better because it was about wrestling and I like wrestling. I liked the show better because every third cameo was me poking Ashley and being like, he's a wrestler. It's funny because he's playing a son of a wrestler when he's actually a son of a famous wrestler.
The son of a wrestler, yeah.
So it's like kind of a funny thing, and like he showed his butt on Twitch.
And he showed his Carlito's butt on Twitch. Haircut and like things like that were just really fun for me. You know what I mean? So
yeah. So I mean, I like that, but I do think that number one, the broadness of the characters is kind of the point. It is like a meta on meta sort of a tale of like, yeah. So these kind of 80s caricatures now have to portray other 80s caricatures. And that's the fun sort of art of it.
I like when you also when you understand the characters they're kind of referencing and how they manage to still reference them. But it's like they came up with a secondary gimmick for them, but it was a similar gimmick, you know? So you had the welfare queen.
Yeah.
Who was referencing like Big Mama or whatever. You had Mount Fuji, who was then, you know,
Machu Picchu.
What did they call her?
Machu Picchu.
Yeah, Machu Picchu. Yeah, exactly. So, like, you know, that was also really fun, I think, for people who, and again, it's like, this is one of the things where, like, yeah, we're in the know, but then I also think that they just made a fun kind of show that didn't have to be, and I think maybe someone like Patrick might come to the show hearing all these great things, thinking it's going to be something that it isn't, right? And a lot of times, like, preconceived notions of what something should be can ruin something for people. When I just heard, like, oh, yeah, Joey Ryan was in it.
Yeah.
And, like, I was like, cool. So, and I watched it, you know, and I'd heard people liked it. I didn't really know anything about. But, I do think that there's something about coming to a show where you've heard all this buildup. Like, I heard, because I missed the boat on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And then I tried to catch up. And found myself like incredibly bored with like the rigmarole of like the political situation of these kingdoms or whatever.
Yeah.
And I never got past it, and I gave up.
Yeah.
Right. Or like someone could hear about The Wire and then be like, I don't care about these people in Baltimore, you know, and like that they suddenly they'll like get off the train too. I think there's something there to that. And that's why I kind of prefer going in without knowing a whole bunch about anything, TV shows, movies, whatever, because I don't want to have those preconceived notions. I don't want to get let down on the other side.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm always on of two minds about that, because on one hand, I see where you're coming from. But at the same time, like, I do want to have some idea of whether or not I'm wasting my time. Right. And I'm always more excited when people that whose tastes I really align with or like or respect really like something. And
see, I prefer that, though. Just knowing that somebody else likes something, I'm more on board with than like watching five trailers for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think that's more what I mean.
You
want to
know what? I have always kind of made fun of those who become very trailer phobic, you know? But now I think I might be getting more toward that side where it's like, I don't know if I'm trailer phobic, but I don't need five. I really just need one. Just give me the
one. I really
one.
Just need the one. Exactly. Just give me the one and then I'll see the movie. But what I hate is like where the first one is like, it's a teaser, and then we've got a trailer, which clearly shows that at the end the characters get together or whatever, which might have been a big question in the movie.
And also,
what
like,
that was going to happen. Like,
a teaser should be 30 seconds. It should just be like, you know, a teaser. Here's what a teaser should be. I'm making a rule. This is not a movie podcast, but we're making a rule now.
Yeah, we're putting our foot down here.
Here's the teaser. If it's a Batman movie, it should be some other jackass, you know, like at a steakhouse, and he's like, "Whatever, Batman, he's dead." Next thing you know, over his shoulder, bah, the bat signal goes up, and he's like, "Ah, oh, Batman coming this summer," right? Like something that's not even in the movie. Yeah. It's its own little just appetite. It's a little the bread on the table before your meal even comes. Just something to whet your appetite a little bit.
Yeah, just give me like a little visual that can make me a little excited, but don't please no plot points.
Because now they do this thing where it's like not only the teaser is 2 minutes long, which by the way is a trailer. It's not a teaser if it's 2 minutes.
That's a trailer.
But they also do that thing where they show the biggest action moment from the teaser in the first 2 seconds. Like that first Spider-Man trailer had Spider-Man flipping off the Washington Monument. In the first 2 seconds, like over a helicopter, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, build to that. Let me know who this person is. Why are you showing that totally out of context?
By the way, and I've heard great things about this movie, and I'm actually still excited to see it, but I saw the trailer for Baby Driver like three different times at three different movies I went to see. And it was literally like a short version of the film. Right? Like you even saw which characters turned on each other later on and things like that. And I was like, come on, man. I'm excited for this movie. I like everybody involved in it, and you're showing me everything.
Wait, you
and
have or have not seen Baby Driver?
What's that?
You have or have not seen it?
I have not. I have not.
You have no idea how right you are.
Okay. All right.
you are shockingly, shockingly accurate here, Dills. This is amazing.
It's so anyway, you know, but bringing it all full circle, I'm always like a little bit bummed out when I find out that something I really enjoyed, other people didn't. But I understand it. And I'm trying to wrap it around a thing of like, we can all like and dislike the same, like for different reasons, right?
Yeah.
Like we like it for this reason. Patrick dislikes it for, I think, a totally fair and valid reason. But, you know, it's like I hope that people don't let other people's personal, like, you know, opinions influence theirs. If you enjoyed Glow and then someone craps on it that you respect, you still enjoyed it.
Don't worry about it. Listen, it's a fun show. I think it got wrestling right. I encourage everybody to watch it.
Definitely got wrestling right. Yeah.
And
for sure.
Listen, Patrick Beja, I love him. You love him. He's a fussy guy. He's a fussy guy who has fussy opinions. It's fine.
He's a particular man. Yes.
Very particular man. He is a particular. You want to know what else is particular here, Dills? This is the most popular segment of our show here. That is the Shitty Melodica Challenge. The maestro himself, always here with us, Trey Warren. He creates our Shitty Melodica versions of wrestling themes. Let's go ahead and take a listen, at last week's. Wait, hold on. All right, so no, that was Sheamus. That was 2 weeks ago. Here we go. This was last week's. Sorry, what was that, Dills?
I think you had it right. I think that was last week's, the first one you played.
No, because I told you that it was a shameful thing, Lobsterhead, last week.
Oh, all right. Well, Trey Warren could confirm or deny. All right, play the new one again.
All right, here's the new one. Never mind. All right, so last one was Sheamus. All right. I screwed up. Here's the deal. Last one was Sheamus.
Last week's. We have the right two.
That last week's was Sheamus. This is this week's. One more time. Oh God! Now Trey Warren is saying that we are right. That this was last week's. We might not have played one last week. I think is the issue.
No, we did. We played the one that you just played, but it wasn't Sheamus.
No, Sheamus, yeah. This is not Sheamus. Sheamus.
That was Apollo Crews, apparently.
Wait.
Yeah, the one you just played that you thought was Sheamus was Apollo Crews.
This is Apollo. Okay.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah. Because I was going to say...
Yeah, that's Titus Worldwide's own Apollo Crews.
Because I was gonna say, like, it sounds like you can definitely hear the, you know, that big build at the beginning, but then it just all falls apart. So I was like, I completely lost it. So yeah,
holy crap,
lost it after that. But
this new one, I have no idea.
I have no freaking clue right now. I'm gonna be honest.
Oh my God. Trey Warren. Well, if you know what it is, hit us up at Willie Dills, at Justin R. Young.
Trey says he doesn't know this one.
Trey made it. Are you going to Wrestle Circus this weekend?
The plan is yes. But I also, it's a confusing weekend because we're supposed to be running our very first Austin MGA chapter tournament as well that same day. So I'm trying to figure out if it's possible to push that to another weekend with some of my players. So, yeah. But I think there's almost – I don't think they would actually still interfere because I think we have to – in Texas, you have to golf really early or else you die of heat exhaustion.
Gotcha. So you got to be out there at 5:30 to get through nine holes.
Yeah, yeah. You cannot start around at noon when it's 105 and humid as balls outside.
Yeah.
No.
Meanwhile,
unless you're trying to condition yourself for some reason.
Sure.
But
do you have tickets? Because that's a sold out show, brother.
Apparently there is one for me.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a hell of a show. We encourage everybody to watch at twitch.tv/WrestleCircus. Go ahead and find the Dills in the crowd. I will certainly be watching. Meanwhile, you can go ahead and find us at twitch.tv/JustinRYoung and twitch.tv/WillieDills. What do you got going on in your channel this week?
Well, there's just tons and tons of Hearthstone because that is all the people are talking about. Once I have another decent batch of cards from the new release, I will do another card review stream. So that'll, I would guess, probably maybe Thursday or Friday. So come check it out, twitch.tv/WillieDills. Also on Twitter, I'm just at WillieDills. So that's where you can find out when and what I will be streaming on all of those days. But pretty much every day this week, you're going to see me on playing the Hearthstones.
Check that out. And you can find me talking all sorts of stuff right there on twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. That about wraps it up for this week. Any final words of wisdom, Willie?
Nah, man. Just if you're in Austin and you can be, you know where to be. 800 Congress, Saturday night.
By the way, last show at that facility, apparently.
Yeah, they're moving on.
Moving
They've
up.
They completely sold out 720 tickets, so unless you can like find someone selling an extra one outside. But you probably could. There's 720 sold. Some people aren't going to make it, right?
Someone's gonna. They're gonna break down. All right, that about wraps it up for this edition of 1-900 Wrestling. We will see you guys next week.
I want you to call me World of Wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking. And his name is John Cena. Well, look at this.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.